Blessed be the name of the Lord. How exciting it is to understand tonight that my God has never lost a battle. The thought occurred to me today that he was only standing at that whooping post one time. Make no mistake, enemy. It was only one time. He'll never stand at that place again. It was by will and choice that he stood there and allowed his back to be laid open. I'm so thankful to be serving a God who is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. God is not weak. He is not anemic. He is not emaciated. He's not in trouble. God has all power. God has all ability. God has the ability tonight to change somebody's life. Anybody believe that? We serve an awesome God. And we are a part of an incredible church. I'm so thankful to be connected with this body. And I'm reminded so often, because it happens so frequently, how neat it is to watch the body operate, the ebb and the flow of the activity around New Life. And I was telling somebody this week that a healthy church is a lot like a rainforest. There's life, there's moisture in the air, there's continual moisture, it's continually being saturated. What we plant is continually being nurtured and growing, and it's wildly productive. Somebody say wildly productive. Look around, look at somebody next to you and say, we are wildly productive. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I'm so glad to have had the leadership that I have in my life over the years. Anybody thankful for the pastor and pastor's wife and family that we have? Well, let's get to the word of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to Psalms chapter 51. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 5. What a sweet presence of God there is in the house tonight. What an incredible presence of the Holy Ghost. Psalms chapter 51, beginning in verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, everybody say, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. Say it, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Everybody go back to verse 5 really quickly. Let's do it again. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I want to preach to you for just a moment. Simple title. I was born this way. Look at somebody next to you and say, I was born this way. Put your Bibles down. Free up your hands, your voice, your heart to God right now. And let's just give God some worship and praise for his word. God, we pray that you would touch this service, God. I pray that your anointing would flow, your power would move, God. That you would speak to the hearts of everyone present, God. We adore you. We exalt you, God. We lift you up, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Stefani Joanne Angelina Germonata. better known as Lady Gaga, produced an album recently entitled I Was Born This Way. She is widely accepted as one of the most outlandish, eccentric, and worldly artists of our generation. If you have any questions about the direction our society is headed in, this Grammy-nominated project paints a picture of a lifestyle of absolute depravity and concludes by saying, "You can't judge me. I was born this way." Look at somebody next to you and say, "I was born this way." She writes, "No matter if you are gay, straight, or bi, a lesbian, or transgendered life, you're on the right track, baby. You were born to survive." She goes on to say, "I'm beautiful in my way because God makes no mistakes. As though the responsibility for who I am belongs to God, what I do is absolutely outside of my control. In the stream of life, I am just a mindless, drifting piece of wood, rotting with decay, with absolutely no control of who I am, or where I go, or how I get there. I was born this way. I'm bent. I'm strangely twisted. I'm a little out of shape. And it's not my fault." Somebody could say, "It's because my mama dressed me funny." Oh, we're going to have fun tonight. But behind the mask of a pretty young entertainer is what I want to preach to tonight. Behind the mask of that face, behind the mask of that vessel, if you would, behind the mask of that young 24-year-old woman who has given her life to preach a message to this generation. Behind the facade of success and money and happiness. Behind the facade on the stage when everybody is watching, there is a howling, screaming spirit that is trying to rock this generation to sleep. There is a howling, screaming spirit that's trying to convince our world that you can take this blanket, "I was born this way." You can take this excuse, "I was born this way," and you can use it to cover all of your issues, that you can use it to cover all of your idiosyncrasies. I've got news for that spirit. There's a God in the heaven, and there's a God with an expectation, and there's a God with a word, and you've got to conform to the word of God, or you're not going to be saved. Is there an amen in the house tonight? And children and young people are flocking to that message. You can't say that my lifestyle is wrong. You can't say that I'm a sinner. You can't say that what I'm doing is bad. I was born this way, you see. This is how I came out. I came out messed up. I came out with issues. This is who I am. This terribly disfigured, twisted, mangled mess of a life. This is who I am. You can't tell me I'm wrong. You can't tell me I have to stop. This is a rebellious generation that wants nobody to tell them what to do. But I'm here to tell you, you better get it in your head. You better realize something. God's coming back and God is just, and you're gonna reap what you sow. This is my nature. This is who I am. I'm just being myself. It's like the emperor's new clothes. We've got 40, 30, 40, 50-year-old preachers that are allowing sin on the platform. And a fool could look at that behavior and know it's wrong. And I'm just one little bitty kid watching the emperor walk by. Hey, mom, he's naked. Hey, mom, he's not wearing any clothes. And listen to me, new life, young person. You better shut that spirit up. That spirit wants to creep into your soul. He wants to lead you captive. And I'm telling you, I know sometimes she's pretty, and I know sometimes it's appealing, and I know sometimes it's attractive, and I know sometimes it gets deep down into your mind, and you're trying to walk through your day, and you're trying to get it out of your head, and you're trying to sing a song of Zion to make it escape, but you better listen to me. That thing is going to send you to hell. You better wake up, American generation, and realize that thing is a spirit of deception, and it's led kings astray, and it's led mighty men astray. You got to wake up and realize that thing will send you to hell. But everybody just wants to ignore it. We got kids we're teaching Bible study to. They come in, get the Holy Ghost. They like what they feel. And then they go exploring. Want to go to the basement? Want to go to some friendly little prayer meeting? Listen to me. Behind all that mess that postures as religious success is a spirit. Is a spirit that's going to try to convince you that you can get tattooed up. You can get earrings in your ear. You can go after a bunch of other things. That you can have the goosebumps and the goose pimples and the good feeling on the inside. But I'm here to tell you, everything that glitters is not gold. You better wake up and realize. We're going somewhere. Hold on just a second. The same young person who called me and brought this song to my attention also a few days later sent me a text concerning a discussion with his teacher. The text said, "Today our cultured liberal Spanish teacher was dogging Christians in the Bible Belt for being hypocrites, saying, 'Bring your Bible to school.' Bringing your Bible to school was absurd. School isn't the place for that. And that fundamentalist Christians are blind to the fact that all Christian churches originated from Catholicism and that there is absolutely nothing wrong with drinking alcohol and partying." Now, Dawson talked a couple of services ago about getting an attitude. Now, what I want to do is I want to go up to the school. And I want to check in and say, "Yes, Mr. Principal, I'm one of the youth leaders at New Life United Pentecostal Church. Here's my card. I need to see one of your teachers, please." And I want to walk in the back. Now, I'm just going to be frank with you. I want to walk in the classroom, and I want to walk up to them and tell them who I am and what I want to address, and I read the text back to them, and then I want to punch them in the mouth. But then he would be right about me being a hypocrite. So we can't do that. And I could preach about a lot of other things. I know there are things out there to preach about. There's plenty in the Word. We could just kind of look some other stuff up and talk about it. But this is the kind of stuff that sticks with me. And I know I talk about the next generation, and that I say generation 20 times in every sermon. If I didn't have generation in my vocabulary, I wouldn't have anything to preach. And I understand that. But this is the kind of stuff that gets under my skin. This is the kind of stuff that really hacks me off. This is the kind of stuff that keeps me doing what I'm doing. Now, I don't know about you, but I view your kids like I do my kids. I pray for them. My normal prayer regimen includes my wife, my family, everything that God's placed under my authority. And one of the things that he's placed under my authority is your kids. I work with them. I love them. I teach them. I'm helping them. I'm trying to contribute in whatever way that I can to them. But when I hear stuff like this, it makes me mad. It makes me angry. There's something that rises up on the inside of me. Now, mom and dad, I just want to make you aware for just a moment that there are pulpits. And you say, well, bless God, my kid doesn't go to a Baptist church. He doesn't hear that kind of preaching. The most effective preaching done in this city. That's good. I felt the Holy Ghost when you said it. I felt just a little bit of spite. He's in my notes. Some of the most effective preaching done is in the iPods. In the school. Who do you think is teaching your kids? You think it's a good old 1940s, clean, conservative? You think that's who's teaching your kids? Mm-mm. Because in the same couple of month period of time from having this discussion with one of your children, a teacher was fired because he went home and on his personal computer, he logged on in his house on his personal computer to his personal Facebook page and posted a comment about being upset because the gay ban on marriage was lifted, and he was fired. It's time. I'm just telling you, this is a weird kind of day. This is a strange day. We need moms and dads with an attitude. That's what we need. Quite frankly, we need youth leaders with an attitude. We need preachers who have an attitude. Because at some point along the way, when you're dilly-dallying around with sin and messing around, you can get distracted. But when you realize there are some evil voices in the world that are trying to get into your kid's head, when you realize there are some spirits that are calling themselves teachers that are whispering in your kid's ear, it's got to wake you up. It's got to drive you to your knees. It has to give you a fury that says, you're not taking my babies. I'm not standing for it. I won't take it. You're not going to have our generation. There are spirits that are telling your kids, why don't you just leave your Bible at home? Christians are just a bunch of hypocrites anyway. Why don't you just join the party? Why don't you just pull up a seat and grab a drink? After all, you were born this way. Raise your hand if you've never been tempted. See? A bunch of hypocrites. Look at y'all. Sitting there trying to act good and you know your nature's bad. You were born this way. You might as well just throw it all aside. Pull up a chair and have a drink. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a child from the Lord. The very first man born of a woman entered into this world fallen. David said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Romans chapter 7 and verse 21, Paul says, I find this law at work. When I would do good, evil is present with me. For the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I was born this way. I'm whacked out. I'm all messed up. Why don't we just all go home, throw in the towel, and give in. Just float aimlessly down the stream. After all, it's your nature. It's who you are. Isaiah 6:5. Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. Luke 5:8. Peter says, depart from me, O Lord, for I'm a sinner. We're all just messed up, broken down, pieced together and dysfunctional. There's not a one of us here without sin. I was born broken. I was born with issues. I could not escape my fallen condition. Somebody say, I was born this way. Even God said, I looked for a man who could stand in the gap, who could make up the hedge, but
couldn't find one. Wasn't one.
So God took off his robe of royalty, of perfection, of holiness. And God put on a robe of flesh. He took off immortality and he put on mortality. He who was without sin became sin. And God commended his love for us. That while I was distressed, diseased, and disillusioned, dysfunctional, damaged, and disqualified, discouraged, depressed, and desperate, in due time, Christ died for the young. Is anybody thankful for the price that he paid? Come on, why don't you stand on your feet and give him some praise? If you're thankful that he robed himself in flesh, if you're thankful that God paid a price for your sin, if you're thankful that you don't have to stay the way that you are, give God some praise. I was born on June 28th, 1982 in a hospital in South Louisiana. As a young child, my parents can attest to this, I was a Cajun's Cajun. I was definitely a little Cajun kid. I played in ditches, wore no shoes, hunted and fished at every opportunity, and got into all kinds of trouble. Brother Ronnie, Sister Bonnie, can you say amen to that? I didn't have no choice, yeah? I was born that way. I pulled the fire alarm at school twice, broke out windows in my grandfather's house, put grass in the gas tank of a three-wheeler that belonged to a neighbor of ours. My mom cried on multiple occasions. Yes, sir. I was born that way. I just couldn't help myself. I did feel that way. Anybody ever feel that way? Justin, Tyus, can you relate to that? Just give me a big amen. It's almost like he's told me that on several, I just can't help it. I'm like, man, stop it. I used to give people the same excuse. Sister Tyus, you contributed someone who brought judgment back to my life for all of the things that I did to my mom. I appreciate it. I could stop and preach right there. But I was also born into one of the most indulgent cultures I've ever seen. Alcohol, drugs, promiscuity, immorality. It was a way of life. Can anybody attest to a culture like anybody been around a culture, been familiar with one like that? My parents received the Holy Ghost when I was about 2.5 or so, but the pervasive cultural pressure was palpable to me as a kid. I can remember it very vividly. I remember my great grandfather giving my cousins and I swigs of alcohol when we were kids. Mom, you remember that? Gramp and the swigs. You know the old, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. They were just getting them ready. And so they were conditioning their kids to be that way. Many times, crawfish bowls, they would turn into drunken parties where once the adults were properly inebriated, the kids, some of whom were under 10 years old, would come behind and partake of whatever was left on the table. And many times that was a can of beer, and sometimes worse. I can remember my cousin Jared getting drunk before he was 12 years old, and I mean stumbling around drunk, really, really drunk, long before they ever had their learner's permits and could make decisions about where they were going to go or what they were going to do. My cousins were regular drinkers and smokers. It wasn't out of the ordinary for there to be drugs and alcohol available to minors in my extended family for many years. As a child, I had very real dreams of smoking and drinking and couldn't possibly understand the battle that was happening in my spirit. I woke up many nights with the impressions in my mind of the activity itself. I was born into that kind of a culture. And my parents didn't know at the time, and I didn't know at the time, the incredible spiritual battle that was being waged. Moms, dads, there are quite a few of you sitting here tonight. You are in the middle of a battle, because there are two destinies that are waiting for your children. There are some generational things, some things that go back way, 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 way back. And I know we preach there are no generational curses, but there are some things that are right under the surface that right now in the spirit, there's a battle being waged. And I didn't even understand it at the time. I was so close to the church, but the family culture was so powerful. And I didn't even realize it. I didn't even understand what was happening. But I can remember the dreams where I was involved in those activities. And I would wake up. Sometimes I woke up crying because the pressure was so strong. Let's lift our hands across the house for just a minute. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. La grasita boyosaya. Satavoronosia. Jesus. Jesus. Let's give God some praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. I can still hear the sound, smell the smells of those moments, indelibly impressed upon my memory. You see, there was a very real natural destiny that was already staked out for my life. There's a bar stool somewhere in South Louisiana that has my name upon it. I'm not supposed to be standing here tonight. I'm not supposed to be here. There were other forces at work. Does anybody have a distinct impression about where you might be tonight? Does anybody know possibly where you might be standing tonight if it wasn't for the grace of God? Does anybody know where you would be if somebody hadn't preached the truth? If somebody hadn't said, you don't have to stay this way. You might have been born this way, but you can change. You can be different by the mercy and grace of God. You don't have to stay this way. When I was 7 years old in March or so of 1989 in a little Pentecostal church in Plottenville, Louisiana, I received the Holy Ghost for the very first time. 2 weeks later, my family was in Birmingham, Alabama, and I could tell you the story, and it's an amazing story. In a little building off of Highway 11, I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. Anybody thankful that one day you went down in the water, the blood of Jesus covered all of your sins? I could not know it at the time, but Mom and Dad, we had taken the right turn at a crossroads. We would never see that crossroads again. We took the right turn. There was a decision involved. God had given my dad a dream. And in that dream, his pastor at the time was shaking hands with another man, and he didn't recognize the other man. He got a job offer in Birmingham. He started scoping out the territory, and he walked into New Life, and Brother Sutton was the man in the dream. And so we stayed. How fragile. How fragile an existence, a dream, an impression, a feeling. And there's probably not a day of my life that goes by that I don't think about that. There's probably not a day of my life that goes by that I don't think about that little Cajun boy who was a Cajun's Cajun, who never wore shoes, who moved to Hoover and started fishing in Georgetown Lake, catching turtles, setting traps. I didn't have a prayer. One moment, one crossroads, one turn, one decision to stay made all the difference in the world. Oh God. Just bear with me for a little bit. I'm going to work through this and then we're going to do whatever the Holy Ghost wants to do. I was born to be a drunk on a bar stool. I'm convinced of that. But like David, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And the older that I get, and the farther away from that nature I'm able to go, the more I lift my hands with David, the more unworthy I feel, but the more grateful that I am. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be there. I'm supposed to have a marriage that's on the rocks. I'm supposed to have kids that are backslidden. I'm supposed to be a mess. But I was glad when they said unto me,
Let us go.
I could talk to you all night, as could some of the others here, about the incredible generational dysfunction that I escaped. 6 generations didn't graduate high school. God broke the curse. Quite a few generations had kids outside of wedlock before 17 years old. God broke the curse. Do you understand what I'm telling you? I wasn't supposed to graduate high school. I wasn't supposed to do it right. I wasn't supposed to marry the girl of my dreams who was godly and right. We weren't supposed to do it the way that we did. But God broke the curse. God made a way. God paved a way. God gave me hope. I was born a degenerate kid in an indulgent culture. I was destined to fail. But being born this way isn't some blanket statement to be thrown over your issues to make you feel better about your jacked up condition. It's not that at all. Somebody, if you believe that, has picked your pocket. The fact that you're born this way doesn't divorce you from personal responsibility. You've got to deal with your condition. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I want to preach to that spirit. You've got to be born again. And that, in an apostolic culture, that can become cliche. You got to be born again. It can be something that we just throw around. But you have to completely die to yourself. Why do you think Jesus said, if a man doesn't hate his father and mother, he can't be my disciple? Why do you think when Mary came to Jesus, and the disciple said, your mother and your brothers are looking for you. And he says, who is my mother? And who are my brothers? But those that do the will of my Father. My dad told me when I was a kid, you've got to have a pastor. You've got to have somebody in your life who can tell you the truth. Because I might fall. But you've got to have somebody bigger than that. You've got to have somebody bigger than me. Because I know my nature. I know my tendencies. I know better than anybody else where I came from. You've got to hate father. Hate mother. Hate country. Hate race. You've got to hate it. You've got to be saved. You've got to be saved. You've got to be born again. You've got to get the Holy Ghost. And it's got to change your identity. But it's not just an initial infilling. It's something that works on me every day of my life. You've got to be baptized. But it's not just an event. It's something that every day I die. Paul said, I die daily. My cousins and I have taken different paths. I can see the map. I'm not boring anybody, am I? I can see the map in my head tonight in a way that I've never seen it before. The longer that I live for God, the more defined the roads, the more clearly I see every moment. Paths. And when you first turn off of one road and onto another, you're still really close. So it's not as obvious. But the farther that you go, and the longer that you live, the more obvious it becomes. So I've watched over the years from a distance. My family, they don't understand why I don't go back so much to visit. Brother Terrell, there was something in me. There was something in me that wanted that. And so I didn't like going back. Sometimes I didn't like going back because I didn't get to see Ashley, but that's a different story. But the more decisions that I make, I got married, and I'm looking at my home, my family, my life. I'm looking back. Man, it's getting farther and farther away. It's getting more and more obvious. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. Because I know. I know what I was born to love. And I know what my tendencies were. I was constantly looking for the boundary. What am I supposed to do? What am I not supposed to do? And it said pull. We're not supposed to pull. Let's just see what happens. I pulled it. And they made a big deal about it. They made the mistake of sending the fire truck to the school. And so the firemen came and talked to us about the importance of the whole system and the process. And that was so cool. I did it again because we got to get on the fire truck. I wouldn't have done it that way. I wouldn't let the kid get on the fire truck. Anyway. But the farther away that I get from those decisions, the more obvious that it becomes why we do what we do. I remember encouraging my cousins to do some of the things that they did. Yeah, I was that kid. So I understand how you feel, Justin. I tell him that all the time. I was that kid. But 7 turned to 8, 9, 10, 12. I got involved in Bible quizzing while they were learning how to smoke. And I wasn't a good Bible quizzer. It just wasn't. My story doesn't go that way. It's not the story it should be. I wasn't a good Bible quizzer. I didn't do it well. But something stuck. Something stuck. And they were learning how to drink and smoke. And I was having some Sister Mary, bless her heart, wrestle with me to learn a scripture. I wasn't that good church kid. I wasn't. But something stuck. And then I got older. I remember Sister Bonnie, Brother Ronnie going to talk to the pastor, saying, "You got to do something about this kid." I was pulling people's chairs out from under him. I was just doing all this stuff. And so the pastor sent me down. I was 12 years old. Can you imagine getting called in the pastor's office at 12 years old? He said, "Stephen, one day you're going to be on the platform. You're going to be playing the drums. Or you might not be." And of course, that was the most intimidating thing at that point in my life that had ever happened. But he said, "You've got to make a decision." See, moments like that are just etched in my brain. When I consider this, how I was born and my wild nature. So I take exception to Lady Gaga's sermon. And it was that, just in case you were wondering. It's a sermon. Because just like what I'm doing here, there's a resident spirit and there's a concept or an idea. Very simple. So she's preaching to our kids. She's preaching to my generation. But I had to get over that stuff. And the farther that I went away from that decision, I started hearing stories. Your cousin Jared, while I was trying to graduate high school, your cousin is in drug rehab. Your cousin is in alcohol therapy. And I'm talking about kids who haven't even gotten out of high school. To the science teacher that wants to try to convince our kids that Christianity is a bunch of hogwash and it just goes back to Catholicism and there's no hope and there's no answer and there's no truth in it. I was the kid who received the olive branch. I was the kid that truth came knocking on our door. I was the kid that had his family witnessed to by three little apostolic girls who weren't old enough to preach a sermon or to teach a Bible study, but who had something that nobody else had. I was that kid who didn't have a chance. So I started hearing the stories. And I know some of you have heard this before, and if you've heard it, bear with me. So I got the phone call. Stephen, your cousin Cody was involved in a really bad accident. They don't know if he's going to make it. I watched it from a distance. I know what he felt. I know the pressure. I know the nature. He was involved in an accident. They don't know if he's going to make it. And then within just a few minutes, he didn't make it. He flipped his expedition. Flipped 5 or 6 times and he's dead. And I went back and I stood over the casket. And everybody wept, but I didn't weep. I looked down at him. And things really, really, really got clear for me. I should be there. I was born that way. There would be no Taylor. There would be no Ashton. There would be no ministry. I was born that way. I know what it tastes like with a great-grandfather that's, "What are you thinking? Giving a kid a swig of beer." That makes me angry. And they buried my cousin with a lighter and a salt shaker. Let me tell you how ugly this thing is. That takes some nerve, because he never had a light to light his cigarette, and because he liked to sprinkle salt on the edge of his beer can. And it was alcohol that put him there.
That's ugly. That has a resident spirit. That's how I was born. I was born to love those things. That's my nature. I saw my cousin Jared a couple of trips ago. He looks like he's 40. He's my age. He looks 40. He looks old. He's weathered. Really, really, really old. I mean, old for his age. I mean, he looks 120. I mean, old, old, old.
Oh, God, help me.
But that is what sin does. It strips you down and robs you. So to the twisted, mangled nature that we have, I was born this way. And then Justin had some church experience. My cousin, Justin, someone out here. Had some church experience. Did you know the tug I'm talking about? The thing that you feel on the inside? Whenever the nature, you know the nature, yeah. And he came running to Birmingham. What kind of shape were you in when you got here? Was it good? No, wasn't good. The culture was pulling. It was a last-ditch effort because he knew what the end of that road was. And I thought about it this morning while he was next door probably teaching Sunday school. There's a reason we do what we do. There's a reason we pray the prayers that we pray. There's a reason that we have an attitude. Now let me tell you the cool part about this. Now I'm really severely twisted, Terrell. I'm weird, I'm warped, I'm different. I was born the third generation of a glass man, so I'm a glass man in the natural. But guess what? I was also born again. And now I'm an extension of 2,000 years of apostolic preachers. I have a new definition now. I have a new identity now. Let me tell you what I do now. This is what I do. In the middle of a world where apostolic churches are losing their mind and jettisoning holiness, I say things like, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. And the world looks at me now and they say, you're weird, you're twisted, you're strange. And I say, guess what? I was born this way. Guess what? I was born this way. This is what I was born into. This is why I'm weird. This is why I'm strange. Now I say things like, there's only one Lord. There's only one faith. There's only one baptism. There's only one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. And the world looks at me and says, that's not a popular message. Well, guess what? I'm not popular. I'm weird because I was born this way. Was born.
born this way. And now I'm a long way off from that road, Mom. I'm not even close anymore. I don't want to go close to it. That's not home. I've crossed over. I don't know where it happened. But that's not home. That's not my home. That's Egypt. That's pagan. There's going to come a day, Brother Kedrick, if you do this right, and if he keeps his head screwed on straight, that he's going to go and punch all of those spirits in the mouth that dogged your trail. You're going to keep doing it. You're going to keep preaching it. You're going to keep teaching it. You're going to be faithful. And one day, he's going to stand up and say, I know I'm weird, but I was born this way. So that spirit wants us to move the line. Well, that teacher, he better be glad I know the difference. What's working? Because it hacks me off. But it's not him that's working. He's just using that platform for a spirit. And I know exactly what it is. So you know what I decided to do? I decided to stick my toe in the sand and make it a little more defined. You fight your fight, sir, I'll fight mine. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this age. I'm going to pray harder than I've ever prayed. I'm going to preach harder than I've ever preached. I'm going to push your kids harder than I've ever pushed them. We're going to send them out into their schools, and they're going to shake the foundation of those schools. And those teachers and all of their intelligence and all of their degrees will not be able to stop it. And when Lady Gaga and everybody like her is washed up by the wayside, and when the devil's done with her, there will still be a standard in this house. When she's old, and when she can't sing anymore, and when she's not... I was born this way. I know I look weird to the world. I don't want to sit around and watch their movies. Because it's nothing more than a pulpit. Oh, okay. Let's just Friday night. Let's have movie night. That's what everybody else is doing. I can go and put my hand on the front door of the Apostolic Church right now. That's deciding to move the line a little bit. And you know what? It's weakness. We're not having movie night at the church. I got invited to one this week. Oh, you're a youth pastor. Well, bring your youth group on over. I don't think so. We don't fit into your world. We are strange. We're different. We were born this way. We don't have time to sit up in front of a documentary. Antoine, you've already said it, but I'm going to nail it home. We don't have time to sit in front of a documentary for 6 hours. Because you will sit in front of that documentary and you will lose your children. We don't fit into this world. Our hearts don't beat with their hearts. We're different. We're strange. We're weird. We're eccentric. We're not like them. We were born this way. I was born in a red hot apostolic fire. I was born with holiness being preached. I was born with consecration all around me. I was born with women not cutting their hair. I was born with no jewelry and makeup. I'm going to draw a line in the sand. I was born this way and it's not going to change. I'm going to get worse than I've ever been. Let me tell you what carnality is like. Carnality is like you putting something in the ground and burying it and letting it sit there for 6 months. And then you going and pulling it back up out of the ground. That's what backsliding's like. Oh, you didn't know? That junk is ugly. That junk is stinking. It stinks. It doesn't work. Once you do this, you pull that thing right. When you go down in the water in Jesus' name and all of your sins are washed away, you go down to the water and bury your old man. And that's not your dad or your husband. You bury it. If the pastor gets up in this pulpit and preaches to your soul, and you resist it or refuse it. The reason a prophet can walk up and put his finger right on the end of your nose is because it stinks. That's why he can do it. Because it smells bad. It's like a red light going off. You're compromising. It's dead. And you pulled it back out. And you put some lipstick on it, some earrings on it, and you got it all dressed up, and it's coming to the house of God, and it looks strange. It doesn't work. You try to take it to the club, and people looking at you like, and you thought, oh, they like my dress. No, they don't. It looks strange. You don't work. You don't fit in. Apostolic people cannot do compromise. They cannot do makeup when they go back into the world. They look strange. It's dead. It'll never work. That's why it screams at the preacher. Hello. I've been sinning. It's screaming. And like, oh my gosh, he came over. He preached right in front of me. He must have been talking to me. I'm telling you. You pull that thing right up out of the grave and you come dragging it, and then it comes and sits in church and sits on the back and it's dead. You got to cross over. You got to make up your mind. I was born this way. You will not do sin well ever again once you cross over. You can't do it. Once you tell God, you stuck. Once you tell God, I'm sorry, help me, cleanse me, forgive me. He says, okay, I'm going to put a mark on you. Because once that thing's dead, it's dead. People trying to live with it. Some of y'all married to it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. See, that was that little kid with no shoe. That was the Cajun's Cajun. That's right. Oh, God, help us. the thing back in the ground. Put it back in the ground. Let it stay there. We are weird. Do you hear me? We are strange people. We are strangers in a strange land. We are pilgrims. Dad, that is not home. They don't have no idea. They think, oh, Steve, he's come back. Baby, I ain't seen you in years. Give me a kiss. I got to go. I got to get home. Do you hear me? Hey, I don't want to be there. I don't want to live there. I love them. I love them. But I'm looking out somewhere over yonder. I've got a home in a land far, far away. So here we are. What are we going to do? What exactly are we going to do with this information, this knowledge? I think there's some young people who need to make up their mind. It's so easy to walk into your school. And you think it's people, but it's not people. It's spirits. That's what I'm talking about right there. So easy to walk into your school and feel. Has anybody ever felt that before? Drifting back towards that crossroads. You've got to cross over. You've got to cross over. I'm different and I like it. I'm different and I like it. I'm different, but I was born this way. I've got an attitude about this. I've got an attitude about holiness. I've got an attitude about prayer. I've got an attitude about consecration. You're not going to push me around. I'm pushing back because I was born this way. Dad,
he can take me. Let me move on.
Dad, you feel it sometimes? You feel it when you're out in the world? You feel it? It's not the coworker. It's not even the female that keeps shooting those looks. It's a spirit. Wants to make you feel weird. Wants to make you feel different. And then that old thing rises up on the inside and says, I'm not different. You can't escape it. You are strangely different. You are strangely out of place in your world. You might as well just put it on like a garment and make up your mind. I was born this way. I was born to be faithful. I was born to be celibate. I was born. And all the ladies at work talking about the soap operas. Who's cheating who and who's being true and who don't even care anymore. And you feel the pressure to make a contribution to the discussion. You feel the pressure to be in the know and to fit in. Sound like a good country song, doesn't it? Mom, that spirit's not going to stop with you. Ooh, I just felt a little television bump. I just felt a little television bump.
Everybody say, it is a spirit. It's a spirit. And it is going to drag your soul to hell. And when it's done with you, it's not stopping there. I'm trying to get access. If you're going to enter into a strong man's house, what do you have to do? Bind the strong man. How do you bind the strong man? You find out what his weakness is. And then you grab him. And then his kids are sitting there, exposed. I got a feeling. Now, this is what I feel. I don't know. I might be way off. But I have a feeling tonight there are going to be some people who go home and do some house cleaning. That's what I feel right now. Right now. Go to the movie rack. Not educational. Not educational. Not educational. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because if you love the world, it's not in you. It's time. Hey, if I'm preaching to somebody tonight, if you're a visitor in the house, we love you. Disregard all the disclaimers apply. But if you're a saint and you have a television in your home and it not only is it pushing, but it's winning. It's winning. You've got something that you've pulled out of the grave, some carnal appetite or spirit that's standing in the house tonight and he's alive and well because you pulled him out, but it doesn't work. It's not working. Get rid of it. Does anybody believe that? Is that still an applicable message in an apostolic church in 2011? Do we have any I was born this way music? I'm not going to mess with you. What does that song say? I'm going down to the river. I'm going to be buried alive. I want to show my heavenly Father that the man I used to be has finally died. You can't let that thing rise back up. There's still some distance from you and that other road, that other man, that other nature. Yeah, I'm talking to somebody right now who you're dealing with pressure in your home. Listen to me very carefully. I'm talking to somebody right now who's dealing with pressure in your home. And there's an attitude that has crept into that place that's trying to get you to back up. There are some things that are in your home tonight that you've allowed to take up residence there. It may not even be your own decision. It may be somebody else's. It may be your husband or your wife if you're an authority in your home. I'm really talking to you right now. There may be some things that your children have brought back into the home. And you feel pressure because you don't want to be mean or be an ogre. I'm telling you tonight, you need to go into your house and you need to draw a line in the sand. And I'm not telling you to draw a line. I'm not being an unreasonable 29-year-old young man. I'm telling you to draw the line where it's always been drawn. I'm not asking you to do anything you didn't used to do. I'm talking about drawing it where it's always been drawn. Isaac, I'm talking about redigging your daddy's wells. Come on.
Come on, what did those wells look like when you came in? How deep were those wells when you came into the house? When you got saved, how deep were those wells? Oh, I know it's a time of plenty right now. I know your kids are sitting in the house right now. But there are some dry times coming. Oh, there are some dry times coming. Are you sure those wells are deep enough? Have you tapped into a sustainable reservoir of water? Are you satisfied there? Let's love God for just a moment. Every hand lifted. I bind the spirit of compromise, God. I bind in the name of Jesus every lie from hell. That song says, in my house, there's been a mercy killing. The man I used to be has been crucified. And the death of that man was the final way of revealing in a spiritual way to live. I have to die. But if I let that dead man linger in me, I might get a little. Sir, if you're in the house, keep singing. Keep singing. That's good. Just like that. I like it. Keep going. Sir, if you're in the house tonight and you've been feeling some pressure to do away with the established boundaries that have been there for a long time.
I'm going down to the river.
I want you to come up to the front. We're about to make a commitment. Come on, if you want to bring your family with you, come on, bring them. Come on, mama. You got to make, somebody needs to get an attitude. In my house, there's been a mercy killing. In my house, there's been a mercy killing. The man I used to be has finally died. And the death of that man was the final way of revealing. In a spiritual way to live, I have to die.